Scripture reading this morning will be out of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your coming.
Good morning. Good to see each of you. And we've been talking about unity over the past month now. This is the fourth of this particular series on ones listed there in Ephesians chapter 4. This morning we're going to study the one hope found in verse 4 of Ephesians 4. But I want to back up and remind us again of those verses together as we begin in Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And upon that platform of unity, as many have called it in the past, those seven ones that are listed, Paul says that we should, and he's begging for the congregation there at Ephesus to endeavor, to work hard for keeping that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he talks about, he combines that with the idea of forbearing one another in love and working patiently, enduring with one another in that. And I think all of that would be included in that, in what we see even in our own families sometimes, but certainly in the church family. And the church family here at Eastside is important. And we want to make sure that we shore up that bond as strong as we can and work hard together to be found pleasing unto the Lord as His people. One hope, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. One hope. Hope is defined as desire with expectation of receiving, or at least the belief that it is obtainable. That's how some have defined it. The general use of the word hope we find especially is in Scripture denotes desire plus expectation of something good. Something good. And I think that sometimes we lose sight of that. And that's going to be brought out in a couple of verses as we study this morning. In fact, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 10, Paul talks about he who plows should plow in hope. And so the picture that is seen, and he says, he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. He should be able to partake of the hope that he has. He's looking forward to something. And so hope pertains to something that is in the future. It pertains to the future in that way. Paul wrote in Romans 8, beginning of verse 23, he says, we groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting, he says, for the adoption, the redemption of our body. He says, for we were saved in this hope. He says, we were looking forward to this, and therefore we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. That's the picture. It is something yet in the future, something that we're looking forward to, and he distinguishes it from that which we currently see, from that which we have grasped, that which we have obtained right now, that we have in front of us. It is something that we look forward to, in other words. And the Apostle John wrote, "Beloved," he says, "we are children, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but when we..." He says, "but we know that when he is revealed, rather, we shall be like him." Watch this. He says, "for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." One thing that I want to make sure that we connect as well this morning is that picture of hope looking forward to something. And while John writes and he says, it's not been revealed what we shall be, but we look forward to being with him and seeing him when he is revealed, then we shall see him as he is. And we have this hope. It was looking forward to that. And he says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And so the connection with that, how we live our lives. Why? Based on the hope that we have, looking forward to Christ, looking forward to Christ's return, looking forward to heaven. And so hope is set in opposition to sight. And that's why Paul would also connect that idea that we walk by faith and not by sight. There's a connection then to faith, as we will see in this lesson as well. And so one does not yet possess that for which he has hope. So let's talk about this. The Christian's hope is, number one, based upon the Word of God. That's where all of this begins. We talk about hope, and what is this one hope? It is that which is based upon God's Word. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, Paul wrote, that we might have hope. Those things that had been written previously, those Christians were able to see the Old Testament scrolls, to see those things that had been put together. They were able to read the Old Testament, and he says those things written aforetime. And so he's talking about those things previously written, the Scriptures of old, the Old Testament, in other words. He says that we, through patience and comfort of those Scriptures, that we might have hope. He said we're still looking forward, and they teach us, and they give us comfort, and they give us hope. And so by having the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, Paul would write in Ephesians 1, he says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And so our letter in Ephesians begins with this picture of hope that is expressed as well. We see in verses 1 through 14 of Ephesians 1, we see the work of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all that they have brought forth, and all of those spiritual blessings that are found in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, culminate with this idea that what does it do? What ultimately has the Godhead brought for us? What has happened is that he has set forth before us hope. Hope for mankind. Hope in a situation that when we go back to the Garden of Eden, we find where man has sinned in Genesis chapter 3, that it seemed that all hope would be lost, right? But no, he says there's still a picture of hope, Genesis 3 and verse 15. And so the seed of woman would come and bring forth that hope. The Christian's hope is based on God's Word. The Word of God, we know, produces faith, Romans 10, 17. And that faith leads one to that hope. Now the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace in believing or in faith, that you may abound. In other words, that you may have a surplus, that you may be overflowing, he says, in hope, in the power of the Spirit, Romans 15 and verse 13. What is that picture for the world? The world has a longing, a desire for certain things, but they may not be things that are good for them, and they're trying to fill their lives with those things, and it won't sustain them. It won't continually give them hope. But for the child of God, who is rooted in God's Word, whose faith is built up from the Word of God, they have hope. The Christian has that hope. Christians are admonished to hold fast to the boldness and the glorying of our hope, he says, firm unto the end, Hebrews 3 and verse 6. And you remember then in the Hebrews letter that you have those who were so steeped in Judaism that they were trying to go back to the old law and still trying to hold to those rites and ceremonies of the old law. And he says, we're no longer under that law, we have a better law. We're no longer under those sacrifices, we have a once for all better sacrifice ultimately. And so he was talking about that they should have strong encouragement and that they should lay hold of the hope set before us. Hebrews chapter 6, right? Verse 18, he goes on to say, which we have, that hope, as an anchor for the soul. A hope that is both sure and steadfast. A hope that is sure and steadfast. That's the picture of that one hope that Paul is writing about. You see, for the child of God, we have something to look forward to. We have blessings. That blessed hope, Paul would write in Titus 2 and verse 14. You know, after Christ's crucifixion, the apostles would write in this fashion. They said that God had begotten us again through a living hope, or to a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. When Paul's granted permission and finally able to give a defense of what had happened and why he had been, in fact, arrested, when he was called into question concerning the hope and the resurrection of the dead, Acts 23 and verse 6. And so what we often will see, as with some of these other topics that we've studied, one body, one faith, and so forth, what we'll find is that hope, like faith or like love, is often seen in a figure of speech. It might be used in a metaphor. It might be used in some way as a simile, or maybe even a synecdoche, where, and you have to go back to your English classes and think about what a synecdoche might be. You remember the idea of something being used that's a part, but it's representing the whole thing. Or sometimes it could be the other direction. It could be that the whole is used, but it's actually talking about the part of something. And so a whole for the part or a part for the whole is what I remember from English. But this is the picture. Sometimes we see hope used in these kind of terms. In Hebrews 10 and verse 23, you have the apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews, he admonishes the saints, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. That hope represents something larger than itself. It represents the whole of Christianity. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not. Our hope is something that is reasonable. The apostle Peter wrote, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The hope that is in you. It's a part for the whole. It represents something that's larger and something that is bigger, and the entirety, if you will, of Christianity in that sense. In Titus 1 and verse 2, we're told that Christians should live constantly and faithfully in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal. Paul speaks of the hope laid up for you in the heavens, Colossians 1 and verse 5, and encourage brethren to continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast. And then he says, and to not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard. And so again, it seems that part, something smaller, is being used to represent something larger in its entirety, talking about the whole gospel system. And he says, continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard and which was preached in all creation under heaven. That's Colossians 1 and verse 23, looking at the American Standard Version. I want you to notice another passage with me, and I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5, and I want you to notice verse 8. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation, he says, which is what? The hope of salvation. Put on that helmet, the hope of salvation. But notice the other things that are connected there. He's talking about those who are of the day. I want you to go and I want you to spend some time, and I want you to think about that phrase, those who are of the day. Think about what implications that, in fact, might mean. And then look at the application for us today. Are we of those who are of the day? Of what day? That's really the question here. I'll leave that one for you to study on your own. I think it's a beautiful thought, and it gives us hope as well. But he says, you put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet you put on the hope of salvation. But I want you to notice how he connects then. He says, because we have something to anticipate, something to look forward to. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with Him. He's looking forward to something. There's something to anticipate here. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. This should give comfort, he says. This should cause us to build up and to edify, to help one another grow in that faith and be settled in that faith. And that faith, he says, gives us hope. We anticipate certain things. We look forward to certain things. And to another congregation, the Apostle Paul would write, "For we through the Spirit by faith wait. We wait for the hope of righteousness." Galatians 5 and verse 5, which no doubt then includes a crown of righteousness, which Paul says will be given to me, but not to me only, but to all those who love the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, he's looking forward to something. He's writing to Timothy in that letter. This is the last thing that he's writing, and he knows that he says, my time is at hand. I'm about to depart. It's now at hand. My death is imminent. And so he's writing that, and he's expressing his love toward Timothy, but he says, look, but I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness that awaits me, but not to me only. What a blessed message of hope that we too can look forward to that. That those who love the appearing can anticipate the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the second coming of Christ, in other words, that we can look forward to that with anticipation and hope, he says. How wonderful is that? You see, this lesson, the message that's connected in the platform of unity is not just about, hey, we got to get it all right, got to get it all straightened out, and we got to work together. It's not just that. But it's look what we have in that unity. Look what we have in that fellowship in the body of Christ. We have hope. And when you have hope, you can't take that from us. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what goes on. And those things might discourage us, but it can't take away our hope. What we have in Jesus Christ, because we anticipate the coming of Christ. We look forward to that. Looking back in time, we look back to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the Gentiles are described at that time they were without Christ, having no hope. Can you imagine what that picture must be like? Having no hope without God in the world, Ephesians 2 and verse 12. People who live without God are without hope. That's hard to imagine. At the very same time, should cause us who have that hope and experience that hope daily, living this way in the Christian life, that we should be telling others, hey, there's good news. You don't have to walk through life without any hope. There's something to anticipate, something to look forward to. The hope that is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy about Jesus being our hope, 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. It fills every letter that we read in our New Testaments. It is what Jesus was preparing the people for before he was leaving. That I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come again. It is that very picture. And we see many people today who live in the world in a hopeless state, looking for something, usually giving in to worldly desires and sinful practices, trying to find something to look forward to, but soon realizing that the world's offering is futile at best, not fulfilling, not sustaining, not motivating one to a pure life, to a better life, to a life that is spiritually stimulated by a hope in Jesus Christ. You see, that's a better life. It's a life that will sustain the child of God in the face of anything. Hope is what enables us to persist. Hope is what enables us to be steadfast. Hope is what enables us to be patient and enduring unto the end. Matthew 10 and verse 22. Those that endure to the end will be saved. Hope is what helps us to endure hardships and the struggles of life. Our hope then is based on the Word of God. Our hope is based on Christ Himself. The word hope appears more than 100 times in Scripture. The gospel of Christ is a gospel of hope. In the New Testament, we find it 87 times, the word hope. So for the child of God, there's hope in this life. And it seems to permeate the message of the gospel and the letters throughout the New Testament. There's a reason that it had to be preached. There was a reason that there's only one hope. That's listed there in those seven ones. The faithful child of God, there's hope in this life. And so again, while the word hope pertains to the future, it looks forward with anticipation of the reception of something yet in the future. You know, we look back in our past. With regard to the past, sometimes we have regrets. Some can look back on their past and they find a great deal of joy, in fact. But we cannot hope in the past because the Word doesn't work that way. The Word itself looks forward to the future. It involves the future. It's never properly used either to refer to anything undesirable. It deals with desires, it deals with dreams, it deals with wishes, if you will. Those things that are found in the human heart. But it is nothing undesirable in its connection. Hope invariably lies in the realm of possibility. And so one cannot hope for something that is impossible. And with that in mind, biblical hope then is based in faith. It is based in the Word of God. It's based upon Christ. It is based upon that faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The American Standard reads this way, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. So our faith in God, who He is, what He has done for us, our faith in Christ, God's Son, His love for us, what He has done for us, in the gospel with all of its precious, exceeding precious promises, 2 Peter 1 verse 3, that's the kind of faith that we're talking about that lays hold on eternal life. This hope can be found nowhere else and in nothing else. Alexander Campbell had a debate years ago with the atheist Robert Owen. And they met before to discuss their debate and probably the propositions that they were going to agree upon before the debate. And Mr. Owen told Brother Campbell, there's one advantage that I have over the Christian. He says, it's this, I am not afraid to die. He says, most Christians have fear in death. But if some items of business were settled for me, I should be perfectly willing to die at any moment. That was the atheist claim. Well, Mr. Campbell said, or Brother Campbell said, you say you have no fear in death. Have you any hope in death? Let that sink in for just a moment. Have you any hope in death? And then while talking and somewhat perplexed, Brother Campbell says, Mr. Owen, if you look over in the field, you'll see cows and a bull over there. He says, you know, you're on the same level as that brute beast over there. He has fed until he is satisfied. He stands in the shade whisking off the flies and has neither hope nor fear in death. You're no different from that brute beast, he says. Mr. Owen smiled, evidently, showed a little bit of confusion in what he said, but there's no denying what Brother Campbell's point was in his inference. You see, the child of God has hope in death. Something to anticipate, something to look forward to. Lord Jesus Christ gives us that hope, provides that hope in that one faith that is listed there alongside of that hope. In preparing his apostles, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What was he giving to his apostles on that occasion? And to us, as we continue to read that and see the application and what was accomplished in his going away, in his death, he made a way of salvation. And it gives the child of God then hope. We soon realize that we are saved by hope. Romans 8:24. That hope which sustains us and helps us to persist on and to be steadfast and endure the day's troubles and trials. That's part of what's included in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 and those spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. The one hope that we enjoy in Christ extends beyond the grave. For we believe in Jesus who said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes on me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes on me shall never die. John 11:25 and 26. The fact that there's life after death is that hope that is based on the Christ himself, based on the faith in Jesus Christ, that system of faith that we talked about, and based in the Word of God. And so the child of God is able to look forward, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2 and verse 13. The one hope then is a blessed hope. The hope that the Christian has motivates him to be pure. He says, every man that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Christ is pure. Hebrews writer connects that idea with the fullness of hope, Hebrews 6:11, the fullness of faith, Hebrews 10 and verse 22, and brings those ideas together. In fact, the ASV marginal reading says full of the assurance of faith and of hope, looking at a more literal rendering of those verses. You see, we study that system of faith. When we study the one hope that we have laid out before us, you see, for the child of God, that should comfort us. That should give us reason to go on living through this life and facing all of the troubles that are out there when we step out of those doors, and knowing what this life and its turmoil brings to us, and the busy schedules that we have, and the difficulties that we face, and all the things that might befall us in this life, and things that don't seem fair, and things that we sometimes bring upon ourselves. In all of those things, we as children of God still have hope. And that can't be taken from us. What a blessing it is to know that, right? What a blessing it is to have that and to enjoy that daily in our lives. The love of God and a love for God motivates each of us to live for Him and daily enjoy the one hope, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. One of the things that we didn't spend a whole lot of time to connect because of time is the idea of love. And as Paul concludes, what we see is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, faith, hope, and love, those things are connected together. And those things abide, those things continue on. The greatest of these is love. Because the gospel is a love story. How God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. How He loved each of us. He's willing to give His Son for you, for me, for the whole world. That He would offer Him as a sacrifice that we might have hope, that we might live unto Him, and that we might live eternally. If you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, you'd repent of sin. You confess your faith before men that Jesus is truly the very Son of God. Be baptized to wash away your sins. Acts 22, verse 16. Acts 2:47 gives us a picture that the saved are added to the church. And therein we have that beautiful fellowship that we read about in the letter of Ephesians. A place where we can glorify God, where we can work together, where we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that platform of unity that is there so that we can walk daily, knowing that we're in Christ, and knowing that we have Christ, and knowing that we have hope. But if we're not walking with Christ, we've abandoned that hope. I pray that we'll turn back to God. If we can help and encourage you in some way this morning, come to the front, let us know how, while we stand, sing this song.